starting in verse 1. Let's stand, please. Tonight's sermon, as I'm thinking some of you might be able to tell, doesn't come from 1 Samuel. I'm going to deal with something that I have been working on to go to the Philippines. I'm going to be dealing with charismaticism in the Philippines, but I'm not really interested in charismaticism tonight. What I'm interested in is what Baptists ignore. So what I'm really going to do tonight, and this is very carefully written. This didn't happen on the way to the pulpit. A theology of experience. When you come to church, and really forget church, life, Monday morning when you're reading the Bible, Monday night when you're taking a walk alone with God and meditating and praying, what sort of experiences should you have? Should you have any experience? Should you just be pretty much a boring person your whole life? My daughter, I love her to death, showed me a video of a church in the area where they had the lights turned off, strobe lights, like from rock concerts when I was a kid, strobe lights, people jumping up and down on the stage. They call that Christian worship. Now, anybody that's got a brain knows, if you just, of course, the lyric, it was so poorly done that it sounded like what I would have called a garage rock band in the 60s that should have stayed in the garage. But what is this thing called experience? Look at verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, and I'm going to change this word because it works, but it's not doxazo. It's the word for bragging or boasting. He says it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to boast or to brag. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And then one of the oddest couple of verses in all of the scripture. I knew a man in Christ above or more than 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, just in case you weren't listening the first time, whether in the body or out of the body, what does he say? He's saying, I'm not really sure what this was. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I boast, brag. Yet of myself, me, I'm not going to boast in me. He says I'm going to boast in. Could you imagine a pastor in a charismatic church coming to the pulpit on a Sunday morning and saying, folks, today I'm going to talk about my weaknesses. It's what Paul says. If I'm going to brag about anything, it's going to be my infirmities, my weaknesses. He continues. For though I would desire to boast, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man or any one should think of me above that which he seeth me to be or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was, and by the way, this is the kind of gift that Paul liked, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought, same word as this morning, begged the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul concludes, therefore will I rather boast in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, weaknesses, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We're going to look at this whole passage, but we're really not going to focus on much of it. We're going to focus on the first few verses, and we're going to talk about Christian experience. And we're going to get into it. So I hope you have ears to hear tonight. Because many of us in this room, when you run into a charismatic, you don't have a clue what to do. I do. Turn their music off and you have no charismaticism. Turn the lights on and the charismatic movement disappears. By the way, I want to ask you a question, and you need to answer it to yourself. Why do you turn the lights off in a church service? Do you all know? By the way, does anybody, can you raise your hand and tell me? Do you know what it does when you have a crowd of people and you turn the lights down and you focus the lights here? That is a perfect way of manipulating people. This is not Christianity. It's called manipulation. We're going to talk about Christian experience. But some of us Bapticostal types, if you grew up among that stupid stuff, you don't know what Christian experience is either, because you had people running up and down the aisles. Well, what's funny is on Monday, those same backslidden Baptists weren't running up and down aisles. They were drinking beer and cussing just like everybody else. Christian experience. That's what we're going to talk about. Let's pray. Father, I ask your help. I will most assuredly need your help tonight. Because we're going to talk about something very, very central to the Christian life. Experience. It's been things I've talked about before, been here before. Talked about this before, but it's things we must hear again and again until we understand the legitimacy of Christian experience and what masquerades as Christian experience. Help me to preach and teach this text and others clearly. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In September, this month, I'm going to read what I wrote because I want you to hear exactly what I say. Hear me, 29 years ago this month, it came to me suddenly, clearly, and definitively. I hadn't sought it. I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't prayed for it. It never happened to me before I was 29, and it has never happened in the 29 years following it. But in a flash of insight, the man you're looking at, the one you're looking at, knew the future. I knew as surely as I'm standing here tonight. And by the way, some of you deadheads, I hope you're listening, because I am going someplace with this. Not only did I know the future, this is not your religion. I went to a friend, by the way, friend. I went to a friend and said, his name was Luis. I said, Luis, I know something that's going to happen. I don't know what to call it, but I knew it was going to happen. And I said, I know this is going to happen, and I'm not going to tell you the details, but I want you to know that I know now, so when this happens, you will know that I knew ahead of time that it happened. By the way, how many of you heard me tell these kind of stories every day? Been here 20 years nearly, folks. I never experienced this before or after. Well, you say, what did you know? The insight was not good. In fact, it was very bad. And I didn't want to tell him the specifics, and I didn't want it to happen, but I knew it was going to happen. This was in September. Listen to me. September of, 29 years ago. What was, did I say 86? I told him then, and by December of 86, it had happened. I had an insight that I was going to be fired. And it happened exactly as I knew. Our whole sermon is going to revolve around this idea. Some of you are nervous and some of you are asleep. Good. By the way, Spurgeon, and I have not read all of his sermons. My best friend has read every sermon of his 66 volumes. Spurgeon one night in the pulpit, in a flash of insight, said, and by the way, huge church, said, there's a young man in this room that stole something from his employer this morning. He stole his employer's some very, very expensive fine gloves. And he pointed, I believe, to the area of this huge auditorium, and guess what? There was a guy that had stole some gloves, and Spurgeon saw that. Christian experience. In your notes. By the way, I do everything in response to questions because answers are not valuable unless you know the questions. Here are the questions. What are these experiences? What do we make of them? What do we do with them? Start a new denomination. I'm going to give you several ideas, and by the time we get done tonight, if you get all of the ideas together, you will have a pretty good idea of what I call a theology of Christian experience. Number one in your notes, Christian experiences do happen. Let me just say it simply, stuff happens. When you read the Bible, stuff happens. People experience things. By the way, I'm not saying you should experience this. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying stuff happens. When you read the book of Acts, it says the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now, I want to ask you, have you ever had an angel speak to you? Jamie Lauer, you know this, Tim. He has a woman in his church that believes Jesus speaks to her every day in her ear. Has he told you this? He thinks that, you know, she thinks somebody just, Jesus. By the way, I had a lot of those in the psychiatric ward, by the way, that thought Jesus was speaking to them. What do we make of an angel speaking to Philip? Look at verse 39. It says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. What do we make of that? And the answer is, I don't know. But we find Philip later in another area, passing through that area, preaching in all the cities and to all of Caesarea. I mean, that's what we have. Acts chapter 10. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up into the household to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened. Now, folks, I'm going to say a whole lot of things. We got to stick together here tonight. In your notes, this is where, under the verses, I say this. I do not believe, even in the Bible, this kind of a foolishness. This is not a miracle a day in prosperity all the way. However, if there is a God, and if we know and serve that God, then life is not limited to the ordinary or the expected or the planned. Number two, and this is where we start to develop. Folks, look at me. Do you know what I mean by theology? Where we have ideas that cohere, that stick together. We don't have a bunch of popcorn ideas floating around. We now can talk about experience from a biblical view. Number two, Christian experiences happen. Happen. Do you know what that means? When I walked outside the house tonight and I opened the back door, I knew Tiffany and John were in the living room. I think John was praying or meditating when I went through. Tiffany, is that right? And Tiffany was awake, and I just, as I opened that back door, something happened. Just as I opened the back door, I saw something like dark run past me. I thought it was your dog. It wasn't. It was a cat. And about scared me to death. By the way, that cat, it just happened. The hardest problem we accept is Christian experience happens. Stuff happens. All right, we'll continue. What do I mean by that? Well, we find in 2 Corinthians 12, I won't read the passage again now, just the highlighted part, it's Paul's describing whatever that he's describing, and people even differ about what it is, but says there was such a one caught up to the third heaven. Under the verses, I say this. This is really the first idea that shakes up our tidy little worlds. We like, you know who the we is? Look up here. Who's the we? Here's what's funny. If you visit a charismatic church tomorrow where we don't put God in a box, I've heard that so many times I want to hit them with a box. When you hear that kind of craziness, oh, they're lying to you through all their teeth. You say, why? Because every experience they ever have looks like what people do in those churches. We like God very tidy. We don't like God to, I said we, all people, not just Baptists. Everybody likes God tidy. We like God on our leash, where I can kind of bring God with me to the party. In your notes, this is the first idea that shakes up our tidy little worlds. We like well-controlled worlds that we somehow control. Either, in your notes, no experience under your control. And by the way, Baptists are famous for that. I was reading a professor of theology in our circles recently, and I'm thinking, I think if this guy ever got in a church service and Jesus moved him to weep, he would probably die and go immediately to heaven because he doesn't believe in experience. He likes to control things. But just as much, as I say in your notes, or certain experiences under our control. Now, Louis Heras, you grew up Catholic, is that right? You never experienced Tumba Tumba. Did you guys? You all know what Tumba Tumba is? Getting hit on the head and getting zapped. So, you know, and Benny Hinn, he goes through there, you know, and they start zapping people. And they're falling. Now, here's what I find funny about that. But see, none of you are listening. They don't do that on Monday at their job. Hello? How do I know it's fake? They only do it in the places where they're supposed to do it. By the way, if God was going to knock you out in the spirit, I'm thinking he could do it on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. He wouldn't just do it in a religious service. Yes? Because Christian experience just happens. You don't control God. When people say, you Baptists are putting God in a box, they put God in just as much of a box. It's just a different box. By the way, some of us, oh no, and then some of us, yeah, knock me out, God. But they always get knocked out. Look at me. Even better. Wait a minute. They get knocked out when somebody's behind them to catch them. What if you just got knocked out and fell down? Ridiculous. By the way, friend, the reason I know that this is not of God, look at me, is not because I don't like it. It's because it just doesn't happen. It only happens after 45 minutes of music and all of the emotions, and then the people get behind you, and then Benny Hinn says, in the name of Jesus, and then you fall back and somebody just happens to be there to catch you. That's ridiculous. That's not how God works. So in your notes, we either have no experience under our control or certain experiences, again, under our control. I'm going to say a whole bunch more later, but when you read Luke chapter 9, this is, of course, the transfiguration. They see Jesus transfigured. Acts chapter 2, we have the day of Pentecost and the rushing mighty wind. It just happened. They didn't know it was going to happen. A little later, they're praying for God to do some things, and they go through an earthquake. They weren't expecting an earthquake, I can promise you, and nor were they praying for one. Down under the verses are some thoughts. Christian experience cannot be planned. Christian experience cannot be planned. Now, I'm going to speak to all the Baptists of the emotional variety. If you go to a Baptist church, that's emotional. I'm sorry, ladies, this usually affects women. You have a pastor that knows how to manipulate your emotions. You see the guy standing in front of you? I know how to do it too. I choose not to, because Christian experience is not something you plan, because if you plan it, it's no longer anything to do with Christianity. It's just what they do at a concert. It's just what happens in a TV program. It is carefully manipulated. Christian experience cannot be planned. Next, Christian experience has no formulas. By the way, Paul went to the third heaven. What was the formula? He didn't know. But in America, man, here's the four steps. In your notes, I say this. There's no two steps. There's no three steps. There's no four requirements. There is no process. Christian experience happens. Next page. I say in your notes, can you find Paul's formula for going to the third heaven? I could see it now. I think we could write a new book and become a bestseller in America. Joel Osteen will publish it. Four steps to go to the third heaven by the Apostle Paul. There's only one problem. Paul didn't get it, and he didn't have four steps, and the Apostle Paul stood in a unique relationship to God, different than ours, because he's one of those men founding the church, writing the scripture, and he didn't say, well, what you need to do if you wanted to go to the third heaven is... No, none of that. Next. Christian experience is not sought, it's not taught, it's not suggested, it's not pressured, it's not practiced. These things just happen. Next, every time I see this, Christian experience is given unexpectedly and suddenly. When something happens that's true Christian experience, it is something God gives you, it's unexpected, and it is sudden. Like the day of Pentecost, and suddenly, not, all right, 45 minutes of music, turn the lights off, let's sweat. Folks, did you hear this morning, for you that were in here, I grew up in the rock culture. When I see people doing this junk, we did that in rock concerts. But we didn't think that was Christian. We thought that was part of how you got into the emotions. So now we took rock culture, brought it into the church. We do a little religion over top. That's not Christianity. It's the same thing that a rock concert does to you. It changes your emotional state. That's not Christian experience. Christian experience is given suddenly, unexpectedly. Could be many different things. As we'll move forward, we'll talk about some of those. I say in your notes, all of this sounds like a miracle, because it is. That's the whole point. It was miraculously given to them. Next, Christian experience. You know what? I can't even blame Frenchie on this one. I don't have this in my notes. So there's a piece. Thank you, Frenchie, for finding that blank. Number three in your notes. Christian experience happens in great variety. Jordan, you grew up in a Southern Baptist church. This is not preaching about Southern Baptists, because Southern Baptists can be anywhere all over the map, from very good to lunatics. Bible deniers. I think Jimmy Carter is one of those Bible deniers. When I dealt with Southern Baptist, both of Southern variety and the Southern Baptist variety, I noticed something. Preachers knew how to manipulate people's emotions. In some churches, every week, the goal of the preaching was to make you, look up here, everybody, was to make you cry. And every week, that's what the preacher tried to do. He would tell you what kind of stories? Sentimental, emotional stories, and all the people would... And they walked away thinking, I've been in church, not realizing you've just been manipulated. By the way, why don't you ever walk away from church in those churches angry? Go back to you, Jordan. This is not about you. I found, not in Al Mohler, which I like more, in those type, Mark Dever, but in some, you had either crying or joy, happiness. So when everybody walked out of the building, they were... So Christian experience was limited to crying or smiling. That's what it means to worship God. You come away, you either cried or you smiled. And if you're a good preacher, you get them to cry and to smile. Are you all with me? Do you realize that's not very Christian? Look in your notes. Christian experience happens in great, what's that say? Variety. You say, Pastor, where do you get that at? I'm so very glad you ask. I say, what do we learn about Christian experience from 2 Corinthians 12 and 11? Well, we're going to read chapter 11 under the points, and then we'll come back. I want you to ask yourself this question. Is this, folks, is what we're reading of God, and was this either happiness or crying? So if you come to Lake County and you think on Sunday morning or Sunday night, I either need to cry or I need to laugh, you better take it up with God, the kind of experience, because frankly, Christian experience has unknown variety. Well, let's see what Paul says, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. What kind of emotional experience is labor? Hello? In stripes above measure. In prison often or frequent. In deaths off. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness. Folks, do you know what? Sometimes on Sunday night, my number one emotion, please look at me. Are you listening? Don't you play a religious game thinking when I go to church, I'm either supposed to be happy or I'm supposed to cry and I have worshiped God. My number one emotion on many Sunday nights is exhaustion. I think we have ideas of Christianity that have nothing to do with Christianity. They sound good. They're religious. We continue. I'm not sure where I'm at, but I'm going to start with in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory or boast of the things which concern my infirmities, my weaknesses. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Ariadus, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. My friend, Christian experience does happen. They do happen. It just happens, though. But when true Christian experience is not limited to joy, crying, happiness, and all of the things that we say, this is what it means to worship God and follow God. It's any number of experiences with God. That's Christian experience. Romans 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I want to say this to you. The guy you're looking at, one night, right here at Great Lakes, 1978, working midnights in the hospital. On my days off, I would go back to Great Lakes. I speak of Great Lakes Hospital. There isn't a Great Lakes Hospital anymore, is there, sister? That's gone. Used to be. I'd go back to the hospital. One end of the hospital on the third floor where the lab was empty at that time. I would go over there. There was a nursing station. There was a little room off to the back where the nurses had like a meeting room. I would go into that empty space, shut the door, and I would read the Bible, books, all night long. Because I stayed up every night to work, and my nights off, I just stayed up and read the Bible and worked. I can tell you this. One night, I'm reading Isaiah. I'm reading a series of sermons by W.A. Criswell, Southern Baptist, by the way, young lady, on Isaiah. It was as if the love of God was shed abroad in my heart like I have never experienced it before or since. I experienced the very thing it's talking about. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Here's the problem. 6 months later, I wanted that experience again. So I got the same book, went to the same place, started reading, and guess what? Nothing. Christian experiences do happen, but they happen, and they happen in great variety. In your notes above that, in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, this is what we find. We find a man that had an experience of paradise. I have never had an experience of paradise. I don't expect I ever will. Even when Paul describes his own experience, it's weird in the way he describes it. Next, there's an experience of God's no. N-O. He prayed how many times? He begged God three times. See, here's you and your little Billy Baptist thinking. I'm supposed to be happy or I'm supposed to cry. And God's saying, no, sometimes you need to hear me say to you, no. Now, I have a grandson. Because he's my grandson, he's perfect. And my grandson really enjoys it when Bumpa says no to him. And when I say no to, when I say no to Nathan, you know what he does? Okay, Bumpa. I took him to bed, was it yesterday? Took him in his bedroom. He didn't want to get in that bed. He was so tired he couldn't stay awake. I put him in the bed, and he's wiggling and doing the arching of the back. By the way, you want Jesus to come and rub your head and tell you you're so special. Sometimes he comes you and pats you some other place and says, no. Well, I don't want those kind of experiences. Who are we talking about, you and God or you and your make-believe? Let's continue. We have, first of all, an experience of paradise. That's pretty great. Next, we have an experience of God's no. Next, I'll just say this nicely. I was going to be mean to somebody, but I'm never mean to people, so I'll just skip it. He has an experience of a thorn in the flesh. Do you realize? Did you read verse 7, by the way, of 2 Corinthians 12? And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me. Look at me. God gave him a gift. And the gift was a thorn in the flesh. I don't want that kind of, I want an experience of being happy and joyful. Folks, that's what people do that get drunk. That's alcoholics. They want to be happy. Christians want to walk with God and follow Christ. And in that process, they experience all kinds of things. Sometimes they experience love, joy, peace. Sometimes they experience no. Sometimes they have a thorn in the flesh. Next, there's an experience also of God's grace. Remember, my grace is sufficient, what? For you. Lastly, there is an experience of experiencing a multitude of experiences. And that's 2 Corinthians 11. I cannot tell you what kind of experience you ought to have. Folks, when I go here preaching, when I go to conferences, and I'm here and I hear Dr. Bowder or whoever's here and I'm trying to learn and grow, you say, what do you expect? And the answer is, I expect to experience whatever God has for me. Sometimes that's joy. Sometimes that's great peace. Sometimes that's great hope. Sometimes it's deep conviction. Sometimes it's guilt. Sometimes it's irritation. All of that is experiencing what God gives you. It's not limited to being happy or crying. Next page of your notes, please. There are certainly some potential pitfalls that we must avoid. Now, pastors have to avoid them first. I will say this to all of you. Everybody in this church would prefer Pastor Warren to tell jokes. Look up here. To tell jokes. Why do pastors tell jokes so much? Not the ones I bring here. In case you all haven't figured out, Bowder, Moritz, how many jokes do they tell? But in most churches, the pastor's main job is kind of being the jokester. You say, why? Because people like humor. Or they tell the sob stories and they get all the women crying. Or that is just not Christian. Here are the potential pitfalls. Next, first in your notes. First of all, attempting to limit your Christian experience. You can decide that I only want the positive experiences. I don't want the negatives. My friend, if the God of the Bible is the God of the Bible, the one that loves me, the one that draws me with cords of love, the one that loves me with an everlasting love, the same one also is going to chastise me. So sometimes when I'm walking with God, either at home or taking a walk by myself, meditating, thinking about God, sometimes he comes to me with great assurance, and sometimes he comes to me with a whack on the rear end. It's the same God. I can't limit the experience I get from God. Not if it's Christian experience. Next. Attempting to cause a Christian experience. Pastor Warren, I only want the positive one. I only want to be happy. I don't want that one. Or I want more of that one. Next. Attempting, and I think all of us do this, attempting to recapture a Christian experience. Attempting to recapture a Christian experience. Can you imagine you're going to recapture another Pentecost? You're going to recapture going to the third heaven? You're going to recapture the transfiguration? It is impossible to do that. Folks, everyone look at me. Atong, how long y'all been married? Jenny Lynn, how long you been married? What? Atong, you are in like huge trouble tonight, buddy. You're going to have to buy meals for everybody. You've been married 16 years, old man. I love you guys, and I don't want any goofing. I don't want any secrets. You all go on dates. Sometimes you get together, you go out, you do something special for anniversaries, special for birthdays, you know, for the two of you. Have you ever tried to do something? Atong doesn't do that for his wife. He is in like so much trouble tonight. Life is over for this guy. Have you ever tried to plan a date? Look at me. And plan the emotions you're supposed to get on the date? Answer the question. What always happens? It never works out. What's the best experiences you have? They just happen. You happen to be in a place and you just happen to go there. Every time you try to plan something, it's always the same. It's miserable. Miserable. You know why? If you're like me. Now, I know some of you are not like me. By the way, the devil just walked in. We're having an experience. Come on in. I was going to say old man, but it's not old man. Young man. Thank you. Thank you. In your notes, attempting to recapture an experience. By the way, you ever do something special? You had that special date. It was at the special restaurant. Dave, how long you been? You better know how long you've been married, Dave. We got some problems tonight, folks. You know it's 11. I know where Dave went when he got married. Right, Dave? Where did you take her? All of my illustrations are falling apart because the men can't remember. What was the place, Dave? We went to a meal, did we not? By the way, he's having a problem. Look at me. On his anniversary, he took his wife on his first wedding, day of the wedding. You two, my wife and I, we went to a special place to eat. It used to be down on Sheridan. It's called Madison. What was that called? Madison Avenue. Here's the problem, Dave. You don't have to worry about recreating that because it doesn't exist anymore. Here's the problem. We have Christian experience. We want God to give us this experience again. Folks, when something happens with you and the Lord, you're out one day walking, and you're with the Lord, and you're meditating on Scripture, and God moves you, overwhelms you with peace, love, joy, whatever it is, you can't recapture that. You can't say, next year, same time, same weather, I'm going to go back and get that again. It doesn't work that way. It's the nature of Christian experience. So, our dangers, our pitfalls, attempting to limit your Christian experience, attempting to cause it, and attempting to recapture it. Next, attempting to limit, cause, or recapture the Christian experience of someone else. I speak from experience, and I'm using that word in a funny way. When I was a young man, I read a book. I wish I'd have never read the book. It was put out by the Sword of the Lord, or they sold it. It was called Deeper Experiences of Famous Christians. It was one of the worst books ever put together. Because if you read the book, what you wanted to do was you wanted the experiences of D.L. Moody when he was in New York City, and according to his story, the love of God and the power of God came upon him. You want that experience. So what you want to do is you want to travel to New York City, to the Wall Street District, and God zap you. When I was in Bible college, the pastor there said, I don't know if it was true, he went to his father's grave and wept on his father's grave, and God gave him this great experience. We had people in Northern Illinois going to Texas to his grave to get that experience. You can't cause recapture or get somebody else's anything. Christian experience, they do happen, but they happen. And folks, they happen in tons of varieties, but you can't say, I want this one and I'm going to go get it by planning how to get it. It doesn't work. Number four. Now we get down to a little more specifics for, hopefully, for your life. Christian experience happens without explanation and without understanding. It happens without explanation and without understanding. Paul says, I want you to read this text carefully and note the highlighted passages. He says, I knew, which in and of itself is strange language, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. He's not even real specific. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. My friend, Christian experience, even when you have this experience, doesn't come with explanation nor understanding, and even Paul didn't seem to quite understand everything. Now I'm going to tell two stories. I want everyone to look at me. I started with something that happened to me. It happened in 1986. In September of 1986, I've told you the story. Look at me, please. I want to be very specific. I just remember, like, boom, and I knew what was going to happen. Now, I'm going to ask you the question, what was that? What happened? I'm going to tell you what I think, but I'll say this. I knew what was going to happen in the future, and what I knew happened exactly. Was it intuition? Was it the Holy Spirit? Was it putting together many things subconsciously and coming to get that came together in a flash of insight? Was it luck? And I'm not a charismatic. I don't have an ounce of charismatic in me. But if I was a charismatic, I would say, God gave me a word of knowledge. What was it? Look me in the eyes. The answer is, I do not know. The most real thing that ever happened to me, one night, middle of the night, I'm on a wagon. The wagon has, what do you call them, rails, but that's not what do you call those? Sideboards. I'm on a wagon. I'm seated on the sideboard in the middle of the night. As I'm seated on this wagon in the middle of the night, on this sideboard, demons are coming after me. You say, what did the demons look like? Louis hit us. They're coming after me. As the demons keep coming and wave after wave of them come to the wagon, I'm using what little bit of martial arts ability I have. I needed Superman there to help me, but I'm kicking them, and I know how to kick. I'm doing a roundhouse kick, side kicks. Look at me. It is so real. It's as real as I am right here. I knew the demons were going to run over me and capture me. And all I remember, finally one of them, I'm going to kick that demon right smack dab in the head. And when I kick out, I fall off the bed, and my wife had put the covers under the mattress. So when I fell off the bed, I was trapped. And I fell off the bed, and I went like this, and I fell all the way to the floor on my behind, and I was trapped there like this, like a cocoon. And that's when I knew I was dreaming. By the way, my wife has pretty good radar. She knows when I'm starting to dream. You say, how did she know? I don't know how she knows, but she starts whacking me, waking me up. My friend, you say, Paul went to heaven. But when he describes it, he says, I don't know if I was in the body, out of the body. I'm not sure, was I alive? Was I dead? Was I dreaming? Was I having a vision? What was going on? And the answer is, God knows. Look at me. Here's your problem. You get into your Christian experience and you start making stuff up. Christian experience happens. It happens in lots of variety, but it doesn't come with explanation. So if it happens to you, you say, Pastor Warren, I know God spoke to me. If you tell me every day, you're out of here. Find a different church. But if you feel that one time God somehow just gave you insight, Sparky, I had you read a letter by Sullivan Ballou, correct? Sullivan Ballou, I recommended the letter. Ladies, if you're an emotional type, excuse me, drop that. If you're the romantic type, read the letter. Coley, Dave writes these letters once a week, doesn't he?
Yes.
Sullivan Ballou wrote the greatest letter ever written, I believe, by a layperson, love letter to his wife. He had a premonition. Yes, Sparky? He did not believe he was going to make it through the first major battle of the Civil War. He wrote his letter, a letter to his wife, one of the great love letters ever written, talking about lots of things, but one of them was he felt like he wasn't coming home. And by the way, he didn't come home. What do you make of that? What do you say about it? The answer is nothing. I believe sometimes stuff happens. But it doesn't come with explanations, so we don't start new denominations trying to figure out what it means. In your notes, this, in my way of thinking, is one of the strangest insights into Christian experience. Paul wasn't sure what all this meant. Even Paul wasn't sure. And my friend, if Paul doesn't know what it meant, you're not always going to understand it all. In your notes, first of all, he wasn't sure who this was. You get this impression, and by the way, there are some people that think Paul is not talking about himself. He's referring to somebody else because it's a very weird story. So Paul seems to indicate he's not sure exactly who it was. He also wasn't sure when it happened. He talks about, you know, more than 14 years ago, so it's kind of a weird thing that happened to him. Next. He wasn't sure exactly what happened. Was he in the body? Was he out of the body? I cannot tell. God knows. The only thing Paul knew was this. He was sure that God knew. That's it. And I want everyone to hear me. I started this sermon out like no Baptist you've ever heard. I talked to you about one time in 58 years that it seems to me, that God, I don't know what you call it, but I'm going to tell you what I make of that. Nothing. Stuff happens. Maybe God gave me insight. Maybe it was intuition. Maybe it was gathering a lot of things together and in putting it together in a flash of intuition. I don't know. But I do know this, friend. I don't know what it meant other than it happened. I'm not starting any new denominations. I'm not going to get you to try to think this way. Stuff happens. In your notes. What happened to me? I knew what was going to happen and it happened. However, what was it? I don't know. In your notes, Christian experience is not self-evident. It's not self-evident. So if you come to me, didn't we have a book recently, one of the New York Times bestsellers, where some little boy supposedly went to heaven? Answer the question. And of course we found out that was a what? A big lie. Be very careful of that stuff. Baptists like that junk just like charismatics do. because we like emotions and we like sensationalism. By the way, if the Apostle Paul talks about going to the third heaven and he's not sure who went there, he's not sure what happened, he's not sure if he was in the body, out of the body, he's not sure when it happened, the only thing he knows from the experience is God knows what happened, then why do you think some kid is going to know what heaven's like? Because we don't have a theology of Christian experience, but you're getting one tonight. That's when I say we get in trouble, when we start making things up and we start deriving conclusions. So in your notes, we have said so far, Christian experiences do happen. Number two, Christian experiences happen suddenly, unexpectedly, beyond our control. Number three, Christian experience happens in great variety. Number four, Christian experiences happen without explanation or understanding. We don't usually know what they mean. Lastly, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. Read with me. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. How that he was caught up into paradise and he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Number five, Christian experience does not and should not happen to everyone. Folks, do not say we're going to. Do you know there was a group, was it in Pennsylvania or New York? Gail, you would know this. Burned Over District. Tim, you would know this. The Burned Over District, the Shakers. During the First Great Awakening, there were some people that had shakes. During preaching, they just started shaking. Do you know we started the denomination over that, the Shakers? So when you went to church, every service, somebody had to shake. What's wrong with us? By the way, Paul never said, we need to start the new Baptist denomination. We are the Third Heaven Baptist. That's ridiculous. Christian experience does not and should not happen to everyone. In your notes, Paul is quite clear about several issues. First of all, he hadn't really talked about this for more than 14 years. So I want to say this to you. I had one experience at age 29, and you have now heard it in the 20 years I've been here. Look at me, please, twice. And what do I make of it? Nothing. This is the problem with Christians. We either have no experiences and we're so afraid of anything, and on the other side, we have people chasing nonsense. My friend, experiences happen, but don't make anything out of me. He hadn't even talked about this. Number two, he really couldn't talk about this. The language that Paul uses, if you look back up at the text, the King James properly translates this unspeakable words. You do not have to read Greek to know enough to look. These are words that are connected. Another way of saying this is unutterable utterances. He says, I heard things that not only you can't talk about, they're unutter, you know, they're words that you can't make into words. So Paul didn't come back down to earth, write a book, four steps to the third heaven, make it a bestseller. No. He said, I heard things that I can't even talk about. I don't have the words to express it. They're beyond the limits of my language. He even goes beyond that. Number three, he was forbidden to talk about it. The Bible says it was not lawful for a man to utter. So I want to say this clearly. The next time some ding-a-ling goes to heaven, look at me in the eyes. Why would there was a guy in this church. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. Typical Southern Baptist, and I don't mean denomination. All emotions and no brains. He wanted to share with me one of these stupid books about somebody going to heaven. Here's the problem. The Apostle Paul went there, and he said it was not lawful for me to talk about. If the Apostle Paul said it's not lawful for me to talk about, then how many of those books should you read? What's wrong with us? But, you know, emotions is where the action is. He was all emotional. It's like, oh, get a life. Number four, I think more importantly than all of that, he had someone else and something else to talk about. Paul wasn't really into talking about these great revelations and experiences he had as an apostle. He was more interested in, let's see what it says. If I must needs boast or brag, I will boast or brag of the things which concern my what? Infirmities, my weaknesses. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. Verse 5, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my weaknesses, my infirmities. Folks, let's just pretend that you died on the operating table and you went to heaven. Which, by the way, how would you know? What should you say? The Apostle Paul said nothing. What he wanted to talk about, I'm going to summarize, look at me. He wanted to talk about Christ and his strength and Paul and his weakness, because Christ's strength was made perfect in Paul's weakness. If you have a different opinion, you are following an unbiblical Christ and a religion of foolishness. So let's summarize. Here's a theology of experience. Christian experiences do happen. Something weird might happen to you. I had a lady here in this church tell me one time, she said, I thought I saw a ghost. Number two, Christian experiences, happens. So suddenly, unexpectedly, surprisingly. Number three, here's where I know it's Christian. It happens in great variety. If all you want to talk about is woo stuff, that's not Christian. That's nonsense. Why don't you talk about laboring for Christ to the place where you're worn out? Look at me. Why don't you talk about getting stoned? Why don't you talk about being shipwrecked? Why don't you talk about being hungry? Why don't you? You see, we're narrowing Christianity down to these narrow little foolishness, which is not Christian. Number four, Christian experiences doesn't come with explanation. You say, what happened to you, Paul? Paul goes, I don't know. Whether I was in the body or out of the body, I'm not certain. God knows. You know, I'm not sure what happened. Lastly, Christian experiences should not and do not happen to everyone. So don't bring one of your experiences here and say, I'm going to share with all the people in the church that I died and went to heaven. By the way, you say, well, what if somebody dies and goes to hell? We actually already have one of those in the Bible, don't we? By the way, do I like Christian experience? Yes. Sometimes it's the peace of God sweeping over you. Sometimes it's the love of God. Sometimes it's the comfort of God. Sometimes it's the chastisement of God. Sometimes it's the thorn in the flesh. Sometimes it's God's whack on the backside. Sometimes it's conviction. Sometimes it's weeping over sin. Christian experience happens in great variety. Don't you limit it to your two little favorite religious experiences. Follow Scripture. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Seal this to our